It's good to be with you again today after being gone last Sunday, and I want to thank you for your prayers. Just as we were ministering in Delaware, I could definitely feel the prayers of people being with us as we were there. And this morning is actually Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And in 1984, Ronald Reagan actually set the third Sunday in January as a Sunday for churches to come together and to just remember and talk about the sanctity of human life. And this morning, I want to spend a little bit of time around that. In the past, we've done some things around the sanctity of human life, and some years we haven't. But before I get started in the message, actually, Jeff has a few things. Thanks, Jeff, for that update. And I'm encouraged by our congregation and just the amount of people that are involved in foster care and adoption and just involved in the lives of people. And so often when we think about the sanctity of human life, we think about, in our culture today, a lot of the emphasis is on the unborn, because of the abortion that's happening. But as I was thinking of this message, the sanctity of life goes way beyond the unborn. And actually, just life in itself, in our culture, more and more is being torn down. And I just saw an article recently about some of the euthanasia laws that Europe is adopting, to where when people get old and are no longer productive, they're able to move them into the next life because they're no longer productive in our culture, in our world here. And so the sanctity of life is being torn down more and more. And I tell you, as I was thinking about that, I was sitting at the funeral on Friday of Doug's brother Dale, and I was just impacted with how one life can touch so many people. And different people talking about how he wasn't an upfront kind of a guy, but he was the kind of guy that came alongside of you, and when you left, you were encouraged. And a life, how important our lives are in this world. As we rub shoulders with people, as we touch people, other people's lives, our lives matter in this world. And I want to spend just a little bit of time talking about the sanctity of human life. Sanctity actually means the state of or quality of being holy, sacred, or saintly, of ultimate importance and inviolability. That's a big word. I have to stumble on that one a little bit. Really what that means, that last word there, is prohibiting violation, secure from destruction, violence, infringement, or desecration. That's the sanctity of life that we're talking about, that all life, no matter where it is across the scale of things, that it is important, it's sacred in the eyes of an almighty God. And it's free from violation, it's secure from destruction, violence, infringement, or desecration. And the first thing I want to talk about just a little bit, so I broke out a number of things in Scripture where we feel the heartbeat of an almighty God coming out as we talk about this subject, the sanctity of human life. First of all, the sanctity of the unborn life. And today, the argument is that life is not life until it's born. And I don't know about you if you've bought into that or not, but we have a tendency to buy into the things that are around us. And I think I've said this here before, but probably one of the biggest downfalls of our medical field in our world is that we have reduced life to medical terms. And instead of the baby being a baby that is being formed and created by the hand of God, it's just a fetus that's there to be able to do with whatever we want to do with it until they are born, and then it becomes a human life, and then people are charged with murder if we do something. But before that, it's just a fetus, and all of life and all the things we've sort of reduced to these medical terms that we can get around. Because if it's just a fetus, who cares? But Scripture goes way beyond that, and I want to read some of the passages of Scripture that stood out to me. Psalms 139, verse 13 to 18. I'm not going to read all those verses. Go back and read them sometime. But it talks in there about David is saying, "Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." And another verse, a couple of verses in Jeremiah 1, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." And we see God in those verses. I love the picture of God hand forming us and creating us as people. Now, I tell you what, I don't know if you thought about that, if you have just been under the impression that your parents got together and you were born, but Scripture gives us a completely different picture of that. And in Jeremiah's case, God knew him before he even started creating him. Before that seed was connected and before things started happening in her mother's womb, God knew him, and he knew that he was going to create him for a purpose, to be a prophet to the nations. And then we get the picture of him hand forming him as a person into exactly who he wanted him to be. Now I tell you what, if that doesn't get you excited about your life, there's not much that will. Because God hand-formed us and created us and destined us before we were ever born. He knew us by name, and he knew who we would be and who we would become and what our destiny would be from here on out, what our calling was going to be in the future. All those things God knew before he ever began to create and form us. And yet we have, that's why abortion is so wrong. You know, we talk about a woman's choice and all those kind of things, and I'm not here to talk about that. What I'm here to talk about is God, as we are in our mother's womb, is forming us and shaping us and creating us exactly who he wants us to be. And he has a plan and a destiny for us. That's why the life of the unborn should be sanctified. That we should hold it in esteem, because God's at work there. And God is the one that's doing the forming. He's the one that's doing the creating. To us, it's so easy for us to just say, oh, well, we're going to have children. But do we get a picture of the fact that God is the one that's doing the forming and doing the creating of that little child about to be born? The sanctity of the unborn. Another area is the sanctity of the sick and the handicapped. And I want to read a couple of verses out of John chapter 10. Actually, that is not the right verses. I'll tell you the story. It's the verses actually where Jesus says, Nicodemus, or a lawyer, excuse me, a lawyer came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said this, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, your mind, and your strength, and your neighbor as yourself." And then the man comes back and says, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus begins to tell this story that there was a man, and we know the story well, the story of the Good Samaritan. There was a man that was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. And he was at a point where he was in big trouble physically and his life was at stake. And along came the Pharisees, and some of them passed him by. And we go into all kinds of things about that story, but there was one man who stopped and realized that this, even though he was sort of his enemy, and they weren't on very good speaking terms, he realized that this life laying in the ditch that was at the end of its rope had value, and there was sanctity attached to that human life. And Jesus comes back and says, if you want to be saved, love those people. I'm just reading into what he's saying there and following the logical conclusion. But he's saying, you if you want to be saved, you're going to love the people who are poor and destitute and are at the end of their rope. And life has them down because of where they're at physically. And the handicapped. You know, sometimes handicapped people, we have a hard time knowing how to deal with it. And I watch this. I'm becoming more aware of it as I relate to people that are handicapped. And I see them. And sometimes you don't know if you should look or how you should engage. But one little story. This is a month or two ago. I was coming out of a place of business, and I was walking down the sidewalk. And there was a guy coming toward me in a motorized wheelchair. He was handicapped, couldn't walk. And so I looked at him, and his eyes caught mine, and I could tell he was embarrassed because I actually had to get off the sidewalk and stand in the flower bed as he was coming up. And I could see that he was embarrassed, and I didn't know what to do with it. You guys know what I'm talking about in those situations. Sometimes we don't know how to respond to the handicap, but as he came close to me, I made a couple of comments to him because I decided I'm not going to let him go by without me acknowledging his presence and speaking, because he was coming right at me. So I made a couple comments. I don't remember what I said, but I remember saying something to him about not popping too many wheelies with his wheelchair. And his whole countenance just absolutely changed. I couldn't believe the transformation in the guy, because he was you could tell he was embarrassed, he didn't know what to do, and all of a sudden his face just totally lit up, and he started laughing. Big smile on his face, he started laughing, and I don't remember what he said back, but he said something about this popping wheelchair things, and I could tell it totally made his day, because I was able to engage him in a situation. And so often I walk by those people, and I don't know whether to make eye contact, because I know they don't like people staring at them, because we have a tendency to stare. But do we value someone's life like that? Are those people, do we value their life? Are we able to engage them and help them to realize that even in the state they are, sort of the outcast of society, people don't know what to do with them, but we value their life as Christians because God values their life. Their life, there's a sanctity that follows their lives as well as anyone else. And it's the heartbeat of God as it comes back. He cares about those people. The sanctity of the widow and the orphans. James 1:27 says this, pure religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. The widows and the orphans God cares about. In fact, it says if you want to gauge your religion, if you want to know how good your Christianity is and how effective it is, are you visiting the widows and the orphans in their affliction and keeping yourself unspotted from the world? That's the heartbeat of God. Their lives matter, and it's one of the things that I love about adoption. But I want to talk about that a little bit more later on. It's one of the things I love about foster care. Children that are in need are fine. We value their lives, and we open our arms and our homes to them to bring them in. The sanctity of the widow and the orphan. The sanctity of the elderly. A couple of verses. In our culture, we talk about euthanasia, and when you're old, in the Western culture, the Eastern culture, the elderly are very, very highly respected. And actually, Scripture talks about that as well. Leviticus 19:32 says this, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God, for I am the Lord." Proverbs 16:31, "The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness." And also 1 Timothy, actually let me say this. I'm the longer I'm a pastor, the more I value the older people in our congregation, because they have walked a path. They have walked a path and a journey, many faithful to the Lord and faithful to God. They've seen things that I have not seen. They've watched cultures change that I haven't watched change yet at my age. And I value the input of the older people in our generation, in our congregation. And I'm very glad that we have older people here, because there is a wisdom that comes with that I don't have. And I do want to honor you as older people in our congregation this morning. Paul tells Timothy in Timothy 5:1, "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a brother and as a father." Actually, it says in those verses. And what he's saying is, the older people among you, you don't sharply rebuke and you don't talk harshly to them, because there's an honor and respect that goes along with their lives that you need to get a hold of. And Timothy was the pastor of the church, and Paul is just telling him, I want you to honor and respect the older people in your life and in your congregation. It's the heartbeat of God for the older, for those that are impoverished and in prison, or really the unlovely. Matthew 23, I want to read those verses. Matthew 25, verse 34. "The king shall say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous shall answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." Jesus cared about those that were impoverished. He cares about them. And so often we lose sight of that in our lives, and that those lives matter. The ones in prison, you know, we haven't done a lot of prison ministry here within the church. I think some are going down actually this spring to help out. But that the prisoners are on God's heart, because He values those, even though they're in prison and even though they've done things that are horrendous. God values their life and who they are as a person. And their lives have value and meaning. And for us to catch that heartbeat of an almighty God is important. The sanctity of all nationalities. John 4 is talking about the Samaritan woman. And I was struck as I was reading that passage of Scripture. And there were two ways to get to where Jesus wanted to go. One, he could go right through Samaria. Most of the Jews went to the east and bypassed, crossed the Jordan River and went up around Samaria so they wouldn't have to get be defiled by the Samaritan people, because Samaria was, they were considered a mixed nationality, a mixed breed, and they weren't the true people of God, and so the Jews didn't want to have anything to do with them, and they sort of separated themselves out from the Samaritan people. But I tell you what, Jesus cared about the Samaritan people, and he went right into that territory. And I was just reading about the impact and what all it meant for a Jew to ask of that Samaritan woman a drink and to actually take the cup that she offered him. It actually defiled him as a Jew. To take that cup and to drink out of it, it defiled him as a Jew. And he would have had to go on through all kinds of purification rites and things like that to be back in good standings, to be able to worship again at the temple. But he didn't care about any of that stuff. He went right into that mixed nationality thing, and cared about that woman, and cared about who she was as a and the whole town actually came to him, and he ministered to them, and many, it says, many came to know the Lord. What a powerful story. And I think we do well in our congregation as we talk about other nationalities. But just one quick story. Starla and I had the privilege not too long ago of sitting with someone from another nationality and just hearing her story one night. And she was talking about how she was adopted into a white conservative culture. And now that she's older and wants to marry and things like that, she has no place in which to marry, because if a guy shows interest in her, she gets a call from the guy's mom saying, "Stay away from my son." And I tell you what, I just want to say this, and I'm commending us as a church, and this I don't think we need help in this in this church here, but I want to encourage us as people. If we're going to bring people into our circles and into our cultures, we have to have open arms for them. Amen. And I realize that there's things that go along with that, and we talked with her about, you know, just some of the things that happen around that, but we have to have open arms for people of other nationalities, because their lives matter as much as ours. And we end up bringing people in, and yet we end up pushing them back out, because we won't accept them into our nationality. God cares about all nationalities. I don't think he sees the color of our skin. He sees people, and he sees lives that are sanct to him. They're sanctified, and they're a life that matters, the sanctity of all nationalities. And I want to throw this one out. I was this is a little bit of a shift, and then I want to end with a story. But I was sitting at the funeral on Friday, and I was just listening to some of the people talk about Dale. And the last time he taught Sunday school, one of the things that came out in his Sunday school class, he just said at his church, is everyone ready? Is everyone ready? Like, we can sit here in church and we can do this, but is everyone ready to meet the Lord? And is everyone ready for eternity? And he didn't know that was the last Sunday school class that he was going to preach. He was going to be taking just very shortly after that. But as I was thinking about that in relation to this message, we are concerned, I hope we're concerned about the sanctity of life, because it is something we do need to be reminded of over and over again, because life doesn't matter much in our culture. But I was also thinking about, are we as concerned about the sanctity of eternal life? I care about the unborn. I care about the little babies that have no place to go. Those things tug at my heart. But what about the people around us that may not be going to heaven? We have eternal life in front of us. Do I care as much about that part of our lives as I do about the sanctity of human life on this earth? And in our culture, and all the things that I've just been talking about, where is our heartbeat for the eternal life and the sanctity of the eternal life that's in every one of us sitting here this morning. It's in every one of our neighbors. There's an eternal life there that matters. And it comes back to who God created them to be and wants them to be. And are we helping them connect in those ways? And I was really challenged with that again. Am I concerned about that? I want to end with this story, John chapter 5. I was at a seminar on Wednesday, and this story came to my mind. John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." It's a powerful story. Some translations, there's one phrase I want to pull out of that. Some translations say, "I have no one to help me." And as I was thinking about the sanctity of human life, as I was thinking about our purpose as a church, as I was thinking about just even the meetings last week and the stories I heard from people, we as a body, as a church of Jesus Christ, if there's one word that I would say that I hear over and over and over again, it's the word lonely. We're in the middle of a body of believers and yet we're lonely because the truth is we don't have anyone to help us. We don't have anyone to help us through the things that we're going through. It's the thing that I hear over and over and over again. And we do great in our church, and I want to encourage us. If there's one phrase I would want us to all have stuck in our minds would be this: where no one walks alone. Because if we have that phrase stuck in our minds, the sanctity of human life, we wouldn't have to talk about that. Because the unborn wouldn't have to walk alone. We'd be rallying around them. The sick and afflicted don't have to walk alone because we're there for them. All the people in life, if there's one phrase I would want us to get, our church to get a hold of, it's where no one walks alone. Spiritually, emotionally, relationally, because that's reflecting the heartbeat of an almighty God as he looks at life, as he looks at all the lives of people. God cares about the sanctity of human life. The question is, do we care? Have we caught that heartbeat where no one walks alone? And it's one of the things that I hope, it challenged me. And I want to commit myself to continue to be a person where no one walks alone. Now, I realize I can't reach out to hundreds of people, but in the areas that I can reach out, can I reach out and be that person where so they don't have to walk this path alone? Because there's nothing more discouraging when we find ourselves walking alone. Maybe it's an unwed mother. Maybe it's our neighbor. Maybe it's the people that we're sitting in church with. But can we catch the heartbeat of an almighty God? Can we catch the phrase where no one walks alone? And make that a motto for us as we relate to each other, as we relate to lives that really matter to God. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the life that you've given us. And Father, I thank you so much that you value life from even before conception happens. And you value it until the last breath is taken. And in between those two, there is just a huge journey that happens as we go through life. And yet you care about every breath that is taken on that journey from before conception until our last breath. God, help us to continue to value life as you value it. God, help us to see it as you see it. And sometimes when we turn our back as humans, you continue caring and loving and continue drawing people to you. God, help us have that kind of love for life. And not only just life on this earth, but help us to value life because it's an eternal life. And it will go on through eternity. Lord, enlarge our picture here this morning. Help us to grasp in a new way your heartbeat for every life, no matter where it is, whether it's here, whether it's our neighbors, whether it's in the city, whatever's happening, whatever's going on, give us a picture of how we can reach out and touch those lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.